Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 202, Gone But Not Forgotten, the best zip wheel ever made. Or, are you almost done chewing that gum? Those are the two options for show titles tonight, and I know which one will be on the actual title. So
I missed the gum reference.
Oh, Matt was chewing a piece of bubble gum for like 3 hours and
15 minutes.
And I finally tried to ask as nicely as possible, are you almost finished chewing your gum? And apparently it didn't come out as nice as it was as nice as I could possibly ask.
And her tone said,
hey, cunt, spit
chewing,
that shit out right now.
No. What I heard was, if you don't spit your gum out, there's going to be a minute and a half missing from your surveillance tapes.
Was this at work?
What?
No, it was like I don't know, 15, 20 minutes ago.
That was an Epstein didn't kill himself joke.
Ah, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm talking, so I'm going to
talk. Can you tell us more?
I know she doesn't.
Can you tell
listen,
us more about this gum? Was this like actual bubble gum, or was this just like chewing gum for good breath / maybe clean teeth?
No, it was like that pink shit.
Straight up double bubble, man.
Okay. I haven't had any of that shit in a while.
Dude, let me tell you, it doesn't go bad, okay?
Have you ever left gum in a hot car?
Well, don't do that.
Well, I have. And most of the time, I always have a pack of gum in the car. And it gets, after 10 or 15 of those Utah cycles.
Like the heat cycles?
Yeah, it gets an interesting
texture.
It turns
like crunchy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is, at Costco, and I got mine off Amazon, but at Costco, you can get a 380-piece tub of Double Bubble for $10. So,
man, are they individually wrapped, or are they all just loose in there?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just individually wrapped. Like, you could give them out as Halloween candy, or you could just put like a quart Ziploc bag in your transfer buckets and send some to all your shops or whatever and still have way more than you could ever need for yourself.
When you were trick-or-treating, did you ever get loose candy? As in like it wasn't in a wrapper? Someone just like got some bulk Reese's Pieces or some shit and they just like put their nasty, grubby, naked hand in there and just like put some in your pillowcase or whatever you're using?
No.
Okay. I had a couple of those. I had some also like, bulk gum. There's like nasty little hard pieces and they weren't even in wrappers. It was pretty fucked up.
Like Chiclets?
I don't know what they were called, but they were terrible. You probably know which one I'm talking about.
No.
God.
Who the fuck does that?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. I had a really traumatic childhood.
Well, that explains a lot, Full Face Kenny. So I'm going to talk about my week. And I rode my bike this week twice.
Damn. How's your asshole?
It is very strong.
Nice.
And it is not bleeding from being wiped too much.
That's good. So you're fixed from Giardia?
I'd say I'm like 90-10.
Okay.
Like the medicine was really messing up my appetite, and then I stopped taking the medicine, and about a day later my appetite came back. And I ate a bunch of food, and then I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and it was like, you ate a lot of food yesterday. you've got to get up right now.
But do you think in the big picture you ended up with a stronger asshole?
I think that does not kill you, or that does not prolapse you, makes you stronger, and I didn't prolapse.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God.
My chocolate starfish is firmer than a new piece of bubble, double bubble.
Can we just not use the word prolapse on here again? I mean, how about like just moist or something? But prolapse is, I don't know. That one bothers me way more than saying moist like over and over again.
Okay. Noted.
But what if it was a moist prolapse?
I'd call an ambulance.
I'd be more afraid if it was a dry prolapse.
I would call an ambulance for that too.
Okay.
I wouldn't even open the bathroom door. Just say, you stay in there. I'll call someone and they'll get this figured out, but I'm not coming in.
All right. So What else you got going on, Matt?
Well, turns out the Stump Jumper is a really good bike still. And the Stump Jumper with a Zeb is really fun.
How sensitive are you to like small bump compliance stuff on forks? Does that bother you or not really?
I think I'm getting to the size, because I'm coming in at like 185 these days. I'm getting to the size where, because I also rode my Canyon this week that has a 32 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
So you make small bump compliance now.
Yes. I make small bump compliance.
But in all seriousness, do you feel like the Zeb is a little harsh or stiff? And do you have like the Buttercup version? Tell us a little bit about your Zeb.
Yep. It's the current chassis of Zeb, I think, or maybe one old. It's 170/29 and it is totally fine. Where I was going though is I am more sensitive to when the fork flexes in a way where the wheelbase shortens.
Okay.
I feel like that bushing bind is more detrimental to small bump than the fork just, you know, maybe not being as supple. So I am pretty happy with the Zeb. I mean, I rode it for not even 2 hours today. It was, you know, hour and 40 minutes with a little sealant top off.
So this is semi irrelevant, but it just came up on a video. Berm Peak did like maybe a revisit, or maybe it just showed up in my feed. I don't know. They're talking about the Trust linkage fork. Did you ever spend time on a Trust fork?
I got to ride one in a parking lot pretty aggressively once.
Okay. And I'm sure we talked about it in our previous show, and I've ridden one. But it just rehashed thoughts about stuff and, you know, the fact that it was super harsh, especially off the top.
Well,
and in
the
drops.
Bigger problem was the fork worked great as long as the tire didn't leave the ground.
Yes. Yep. I think that's a very good way of stating it.
But the instant the tire, as crazy as it sounds, that fork felt better if you dropped the seat post and smashed into a curb than it did if you just dropped the seat post and jumped off three stairs.
Yes. 100% accurate.
And I don't smash into very many curb-sized rocks on purpose, but I do lift the front wheel and jump things on purpose.
Yeah,
so,
makes sense. I did not get along with it. Not that I couldn't have given more time, but yeah, I didn't like that. Just kind of interesting stuff about the history of that company that came up. So, I don't know. Go watch that video. That Seth guy, I think his name is Seth, from Berm Peak, has some pretty entertaining videos from time to time. And that was a kind of a cool rehash and kind of neat, just small world stuff. It sounds like Suspension Syndicate in Salt Lake here, they're going to be kind of responsible for them going forward, I guess, with warranty and rebuilds and stuff. Or maybe there's not warranties. Mm. I don't know. Probably just with rebuilds.
Mm.
And then on another similar topic, I'm just randomly talking, even though it's Matt's turn, but he talked about suspension. The Podium fork, the upside down one from Fox, they had like 100 of each of those in stock. There were only 4 models, 2 different head tubes, 2 different travels. And that was like a week or two into them being out, and there was 100 of them ish each. And I checked the other day because we were going to do a custom build on a new Levo. And they're fucking sold out, every single one of them. So it was weird, like slow going, maybe slow uptake. And then now they're all gone. Also, I assume that the entire world's supply of 20 millimeter front hubs is gone. And I can actually attest to that. I actually got on board and got a 240 just in case. And there were 2 left. So I guarantee all 20 mil front hubs are gone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's some shit.
So anyway, that's my Podium story. Sorry, continue, Matt. I derailed you pretty hard there. You rode your bike, you have a Zeb.
I rode my bike. I have a Zeb. It's good. And I rode on some really nasty trails because the rain has came and it flooded in town.
So you got a 170 on a Stumpy?
Evo. Yeah, so 170, 150.
So long.
Dude, Stump Duro.
All right.
Like, I mean, the Yeti SB150 was spec'd with a 170/150.
It's crazy. It's crazy talk, man. Cats and dogs living together.
It's just plus 10. I was thinking about slapping that bad boy on there at 180, but I didn't. Well, in theory, then I could run lower pressure. I would have the small bump compliance you're afraid of. And if the head tube felt too slack, I could steepen the head tube with the flip chip thing.
I think one of us is due for a dual crown.
Mine's on my KTM and my gas. I don't see myself getting rid of the Stumpy, but I don't see myself owning a bike bigger than that. Because I rode the Canyon and I was like, my God, I forgot how much fun really fast bikes are.
Yeah.
Because it just goes.
Yeah, very true.
And yeah, I mean, if I tried to ride some of the stuff that I rode today, I would have had a very bad time. But riding what I rode, or riding it where it should be ridden, it's going to be a hoot. And I'm looking forward to it.
I've ridden my cross-country bike down Upper Dunes.
Not this Upper Dunes, you haven't?
No.
There was just like baseball-sized rocks everywhere.
Oh, because of the rain.
Because of the rain, okay. Everything had blown out.
Yeah.
So that's why I can attest that the Zeb's really good, because it really, like, when I smashed something, it just was like, okay. So.
So I have an asshole follow-up question. Are you a little gun-shy of the water now?
I haven't been back in it.
Yeah. So how are you going to approach that going forward, do you think? Are you going to – can you like take a pre-Giardia pill?
Nope.
Hmm.
I think my move is going to be to well, also the water is coming down for the year, but my move will be, I believe, in the future to I'm in this situation – where with surfing stuff, I don't know what I don't know. And sometimes that makes Googling things really hard. Like, nose pincher thing.
Use those for swimming also.
For swimming. Like, there's some people that use these little nose clips that close your nose so water can't go up your nose. But I didn't know what to Google, and I just tried something right now, and yeah, that works. So I guess for $8, I could solve that problem. But I don't know. Also, I haven't felt great. So that kind of, you know, coupled with, hey, being a 10-minute bike ride from the shop in a wetsuit when you might have to poop immediately is not really a good, like, mix. You know, so I don't really, I had like little energy and low motivation to be the guy that shit myself in my wetsuit. So
do other people that do this like have Giardia problems?
According to one guy, you get sick a couple of times and you get over it and then you never get sick again.
Okay. Yeah. So you just have to get over that hump and then your body like gets used to it.
Every year is what he said.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm just not.
That's rowdy.
Yeah, I can't do that again. Because as I said last episode, I would rather have food poisoning than this. Just because it comes out, you sleep, and then you're like, boy, I could eat a pizza and I'll feel good again. And the whole no appetite for almost a full week, or no, a little over a week, and then it just lined up poorly. Hottest time of the year, so working is harder. We don't have AC, and the shop's busy, and Andrea had surgery, so I've been not just a recovering person myself, but a caretaker, because she can't do dishes, yada yada. Like, there's a lot of stuff she couldn't do by herself, especially right post-surgery. So, I don't know. I'm just not going to say I'm never going to surf again, but that's definitely backburnered for the moment, because that was a pretty rough one.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
I'm definitely going to be surfing again, but not.
Are there like
I'm not?
Are there other spots or something?
I mean, it's all in the same river. Like,
you could probably do that.
I didn't know if you there's like a more. Is there like an alpine version of it?
I don't think so.
No, there's not.
I was going to say, in Howard, we've got that one rapid, I don't know, kind of like near the cemetery area.
Yeah, but also, like, it has to be a pretty big wave to surf. And there's a lot that goes into it. Might learn how to bodyboard instead, because that seems a little easier. I mean, little kids learn bodyboarding usually before they learn surfing. I don't know. I'm definitely going to be playing in the water again, but it's just not a priority right now. And I have decided that for a number of reasons, including I want to be fit. I'm aging, and I'm, you know, becoming more aware that if I don't get in good shape pretty quickly, it'll be near impossible for me to ever do that again. So I'm going to try to actually ride bikes, since I talk about bikes on a podcast and I work at a bike shop and I own bikes. I should probably ride those bikes and get semi-fit again and maybe do a little bit of racing again, just to give myself some of those little, you know, carrots to chase and stuff like
that. Just like local stuff around here?
I don't know.
All right.
I mean,
shit, go worldwide, man.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, like, why not just go do an enduro somewhere? Even if I'm, like, last, it'll still be fun to just go see new stuff and do new things.
I don't know. Anytime. I've never heard you say that you would have a good time if there was a possibility of you being last.
Mm.
Like, that, those two things do not. I've told you before, go do it even if you suck. It'll be good. And then you give me like a 10-minute speech about how that's not true.
Okay, well.
So what else?
I'm not
else
saying don't do it. I'm just
steadily just kind of picking away at the little Jeep things, because there's a reason I could afford the one that I got. And I actually met a really cool young kid today. Someone on Facebook, my exhaust has a hole in it. Whatever, it's exhaust, you know, they're like $300 on Rock Auto, who cares, right? Like, I'll get one at some point, you know. And yesterday I told Andrea, I'm like, this is why you got to look at Facebook Marketplace every day, because hour away from us in Buena Vista, BV, you can just edit that out so I only say BV so no one says I said it wrong.
No, I don't like the way other people say it.
Dude was selling a Banks exhaust system for $150 for my Jeep, and I drove up there and I met him, and he's this 19-year-old kid that buys essentially, let's call them done Jeeps, you know, the ones that people like, the one that he had right now, there's a hole rusted in the driver's footwell or floor pan, and he says that he's on Jeep number like 6 or 7, and he buys them and strips them down and usually doubles his money, and that's how he's paying his way through college. And I was really stoked, and I ended up talking to him for like an hour, and like talking to him, you know, I've sold a bunch of stuff on eBay, and I'm telling him about the easiest way to sell things on eBay and how to make it easy for yourself. And he was like, I'm really interested in this and I really appreciate it, but I've got to go clean some rentals for my parents this afternoon. That's something else that I do. So, but I found wheels for my Jeep on the Jeep he was taking apart. So pretty stoked on that, because I really need wheels and tires for my truck. And I found some. They're just still attached to the truck, and it'll probably be a week before he has them off. So
do you have, I don't know. Answer me this. Do you have any rebar welded to that Jeep structurally yet?
No.
Okay.
I like the qualifier there, yet, and the answer is no.
Okay.
So it's cool. I'm pretty excited about it in terms of, you know, Andrea sent me a meme. I love this. I hate this. What's that noise? I hate it. I hate it. I love it. Yada, yada. Like the circular thing. But I don't know. She also showed me a like 78 Blazer or some shit on local marketplace, and it was like $30,000. And I'm like, see why I bought something that I plan to keep for a long time, because I'll never, you know, it's like chasing anything, right? Like, oh, I'll save up my money, and when I'm 50, I'll buy a Blazer. Well, no, when I'm 50, there'll be $100,000. So I won't be able to get one of those unless I rob a bunch of liquor stores or win the lottery, and I'm not going to do either of those. So, yeah, that's what I got going on. Yeah. Holy shit. We Are One has really jumped the shark on this. I can't wait.
We gotta keep moving. Kenny, what have you been up to?
I rode moto last weekend, took out the Husky, went and explored a little bit more of the Uintas. I went a little bit further north from where I've been going. Just kind of like every week I'll link up a little bit more and go like a little bit further out, find a new little cool camping / parking spot. And yeah, it's been a good time. I did finally crash the Husky. It's literally never been on the ground. It's got 3,000 miles all off-road and it hasn't been down yet, which is nice. I don't typically crash things, but when I do, it's usually pretty bad. But this one wasn't horrible.
How fast were you going?
I don't know, 15.
Oh, okay. Not 50.
No. It was just in a rock garden section that was kind of uphill and a little bit off camber. And yeah, just, you know, got ping-ponged in the wrong way at the wrong timing.
It was like ping one way.
Yeah.
Ping again the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Body weight was like, you know, just in that weird spot. Like I was up in that attack position with the weight up and over the handlebars, but like I was to the left side, the bike went to the right or whatever. Like there was just no saving it. So anyway, it's fine. Bike took it fine, dinged it up a little bit. But, you know, got all the proper handguards and stuff on there. I bent some shit in the handguard area. I just got to – they're kind of sacrificial. That's what they're there for. So I got to fix that stuff up a little bit. But other than that, it was fine and just picked it up. But I did got a boo-boo on my knee, unfortunately. But it wasn't too bad. Definitely, like, you know, I hit pretty hard and I rolled a little bit. And I kind of, like, sat there for a second. The bike was still running on its side, like, in a ditch. And I kind of like slowly walked over to it and turned it off. And I looked at it for a minute. and I'm like, yeah, my knee could be like gushing blood or it might be fine. I don't really know yet, but I'm just going to like.
That's such a weird feeling. Like when it hurts and like it feels like there might be moisture. Like
oh, yeah.
It might be moist.
Yeah.
But you don't know if it's like just some weird sweat or if it actually is just a lot of blood.
It was one of those. I railed it pretty hard. And so I was just, you know, I'd relaxed for probably a couple minutes and then I like picked the bike up and rode it to a little bit flatter spot, put it on the kickstand. I messed with the bike for a minute, like intentionally kind of not looking at my knee and tried to fix the hand guards a little bit, got them a little bit straighter. And, you know, everything seemed relatively fine. And then I checked out my knee and it was, you know, it was only medium bloody. So it wasn't,
wasn't full hamburger.
No, like no stitches or anything. I more just like banged it. Like it just hit the rock very hard. Just hurts. A straight impact. So anyway, but overall it was fine. I finished out the ride, did a little bit more street exploring since I wasn't feeling as perky after I crashed the bike at mile 5. But
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at you. Like I crashed the bike at mile 5. You're like, ugh, I can't go home just yet. But fuck.
Yeah. So I did. I mean, I did an 80-mile ride. It was fine, and you know, it got slightly better from there. But I definitely wasn't feeling quite as single tracky after that. There's just a lot of, you know, you got to move around a lot. You're standing up and down every 2 seconds and all that kind of stuff. So I just did a little bit more. There's a really cool twisty highway up there called Highway 35, and you can go look it up on a map. It's super cool. So I rode a little bit of that and rode to a new spot I hadn't been to and explored and stuff and, you know, did a whole bunch of elevation gain and loss. Started at 5,000, went to 10,000, back down to 5,000, up to 10,000. So it was fine. So that's kind of my week. I don't think I did anything else too cool. Played some golf. Yeah, that's it. An old coworker came in town. I believe he listens to the show. So Aaron was in town. We had a little kind of get together for him. So that was kind of fun to see him again. And we got some old crew back together. So that was neat.
Aaron, what was his last name?
Have we talked? I mean, maybe we shouldn't say it on the show just in case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How about Aaron T?
Okay.
I'm fairly certain. Certain that he's a Patreon person. Could be wrong.
Okay, I thought you meant someone we worked at Outdoors.
Oh no, sorry, not that Aaron. No, an Aaron from here. He worked at our shop. I think he kind of heard about us through the show, actually, and moved out here and worked here for a number of years. And and then moved on. But yeah, anyway, fun to see him.
Well, that's
yeah,
cool.
That's about it.
All right. Well, it's been a long fucking week, and I like lost some days.
You got a new wrist hammock, right?
Well, I've just got right now. I've got like a I don't know maybe a 3/4 inch long little cut in my like the heel of my I don't know like you know in the palm of your hand like right where it meets your wrist. You kind of have that like I don't know a butt sort of. It's like the muscle of your thumb.
It's the crease of your thumb meat.
Yeah, where your thumb meets your palm.
Yeah. So, like, in that crease, there's just a little bitty cut.
I thought it was, like, more on your wrist side. I didn't realize it was up that high, or did they just decide to go in right there?
All right. Fuck if I know, man. I'm not the doctor.
I thought your carpal tunnel was more, like, in the wristy area.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's kind of your wrist.
Honestly, like, I've looked at lots of pictures of, like, the exploded view of the carpal tunnel. But I've never looked at, you know, like just a picture and with a line pointing to it, like the carpal tunnel is right in here.
And did you decide
and everything
to,
I've looked at?
Did you decide to stay awake while they did it?
No, I was like really freaking nervous. Like I was just way too nervous. And I honestly,
really,
I was so exhausted of like.
Oh, we haven't recorded since then.
Yeah. Like, oh. I was so absolutely exhausted of trying to hold my shit together in doctor's offices
mm-hmm.
that I was like, you know, I'm going to talk to the anesthesiologist. And I think I was pretty clear with her, like, I don't want full anesthesia. She's like, well, it's a very short surgery. We don't do, you know, general anesthesia. It's called monitored anesthesia care. I'm like, okay, I don't really want to be asleep. Like, anything that knocks me out, it makes me very sick afterwards. And I take a long time to recover from it. And I don't know if she wasn't listening or just didn't really care. I basically was just like, I just don't want to, like, I can be awake. I just don't want to care. Like, I want to just, like, relax a little bit. If you can just help me. Just calm down some, like that would be good. I don't know. Matt might remember better than I can, but I feel like I was pretty adamant about not wanting to just get knocked out. And I got to the operating room and.
Gotcha, bitch. Wow.
And she's like, okay, here we go. And the ceiling started to kind of move around a little bit. And then I fucking woke up.
Well.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta. Like, you have to have some level of amnesia for that stuff to work. Like, that's just the nature of those drugs. I don't think there's
No, like, they still did the full, like, the full-on local anesthetic. Like, I could have been awake and not, like, felt the pain other than getting the anesthetic injection. Like, my hand was fully numb. Like halfway up my forearm, numb from like my fingertips to halfway up my arm. And that's what the doctor and I had originally talked about was like, you're going to get that local anesthetic. You'll feel some pressure. The anesthetic shot itself is going to hurt. But you know, like some people do it without any anesthesia at all. I'm like, yeah. And then I got there. I'm like, okay. I don't need anesthesia. I gotta like calm the fuck down because I'm so.
Well, I think if they have someone who's anxious and wired up, the last thing they want, because this causes like, you know, complications in surgery. If you were actively freaking out, that would be really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't freaking out at all. And I could have held my shit together, but like, I just didn't want to. I'm fucking tired of holding my shit together. Because I've just been doing it a lot. And, yeah, so they just went ahead and knocked me all the way out, even though I said, don't do that. And, yeah, so it took me pretty much today is, it's been a week now. Like, tomorrow is a week since I had surgery. Today is the first day that I didn't feel like absolute ass. So, you know, I've spent, I'd say, like, 90% of the time in the past, you know, 6 days, I've spent most of that time just laying on the couch from anesthesia. And also, I was having acid reflux. And that sucks.
But they still didn't give you general anesthesia. It sounds like they gave you like kind of what they would do for wisdom teeth, maybe?
Like propofenol or something. I don't know. It starts with a P. It's got some O's. And yeah, they gave me that. It's pretty much like the thing they use to knock you out before general anesthesia, except the surgery is so short, they just give you that and then you like wake up. Like I woke up in the operating room, like when they moved me from the operating table thing to the rolling bed. I think that's when I woke up, and I was pretty alert, like as soon as I woke up. I only said like one weird thing. So the day before, that's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, in the recovery room, you do weird shit. The day before, so I've got a mother hen who hatched a baby, and she's fucking psychotic. Like, I went in there and I was like emptying the water out. I wasn't that close to her or the baby, but the dumping the water out to put clean water in her drinking thing, like, the baby kind of got scared and like cheeped, and she just like flat out attacked my hand and like kicked one of her nasty little chicken toes, like claws, into my left hand. And I cleaned it out really well and didn't think anything about it. But then like once I was at the hospital and like I'm just sitting around, I look down and I'm like, oh man, that's getting red. Like I got to put a Band-Aid on that. It looks like it's going to get infected. And so I like woke up from surgery and they're like, oh, do you need anything? I was like, can I get a Band-Aid for my left hand where my chicken scratched me?
You guys fix chicken wounds?
Well, and they didn't give me a Band-Aid in the operating room for whatever reason. I don't know. But I got back to the recovery room and I was already like kind of laughing about it. And like I was talking to the nurse and I was like, yeah, I asked them if I could get a Band-Aid for my chicken scratch. And she thought it was really funny. And she came back with some antibiotic ointment and a Paw Patrol Band-Aid and put that on my hand.
There you go.
Yeah.
I might be weird, but I really don't mind all that procedure stuff for the most part. You know, just getting there and they just like fucking scramble all your eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, though, is we woke up at 2:45. We left the house before 3:30. We got there at 5:30. They had us back in, like, the pre-op waiting room by, like, 6:15, probably.
Yeah.
I'm still shitting violently at this point. and, I mean, for what it's worth, I looked it up. Propofol.
Yeah,
is,
that's
what it is. An anxiety, it reduces anxiety before surgery. So I think they gave you the right thing.
They just gave me a lot of it.
They just gave you enough to make you shut up. and also, while we were talking, Kenny, I texted you a picture of where the carpal tunnel at.
I do appreciate that picture. Did you actually write those words?
I found that.
Oh, so they think, okay, so there's other people that are as dumb as me.
No, I think other people are as uninformed as you are.
Ah.
And now you are informed by a very rudimentary photo. Because also, Kenny, before looking it up, I really didn't know either. Not that I didn't care.
Well, but all of the pictures that I had seen, the cut like in your hand for a carpal tunnel release, like it spanned a much larger, I don't know, area. This was very small.
So are you like all fixed
I mean,
now?
Almost... Yeah, apparently. I mean, it hasn't hurt much. Like, I can't really grip anything, but, like, I can move my hand and not really feel it. Like, I can move my fingers, like, open and close my fingers, and when they're all the way open, I can feel a little bit of discomfort in that spot, like, right where the incision is. I went for a hike today, like, a pretty short hike, and just having my arm down by my side for a couple of hours, it swelled up just from that. And I came home and like iced it for a few minutes and it just went away. So like it's been a pretty easy surgery. Like honestly, the anesthesia has been the most difficult part to deal with. Like I can do a lot of stuff. I just can't do a lot of gripping right now with my right hand.
Yeah, and I think in this situation, like, I had wisdom teeth removed once, I mean, it's the only you only need it done once. I didn't grow more of them.
I mean, I had to go in twice for mine, so.
Well, anyways, yeah. Like, one of the things they had me do was take some medication, like, an hour before. And I think if Andrea had been prescribed, they gave me a prescription of, like, one Xanax or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something very run-of-the-mill. In that, you know, like, normal, like, relaxation, pain, like, pain relief slash ease type medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she had had something like that, she could have done it under local.
Yeah.
But it's all here or there. But
they didn't give me any of that shit when I got my wisdom teeth. And I had, like, the full, you know, whatever amnesia drug they give you, plus all the other cocktail they give you, plus they have to obviously give you some type of local anesthetic or you'll, like, bite someone's finger off. They didn't give me any, like, pre-pill. I just went in there. They jammed an IV in me. They're like, we're going to give you a bunch of shit now. I was like, all right. And then that was it.
No. I remember my mom took me, and I was, like, probably 19, 20 at the time. Yeah, I must have been, like, 20. And I worked at Bikes Plus at the time, and there was a customer that had, like, full neck tats and, like, not gauges, more old punk rocker, so, like, a fairly large hoop earring in each ear, not large diameter, but, like, large rod with a, you know, half-inch diameter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, big heavies and neck tats, and he's probably wearing, like, a Guy Fieri, like, flame shirt, you know? And I, like, stumbled out of the car as soon as I got there, and I was like, I, like, jog across the parking lot, and I'm like, yeah, what are you doing here? And my mom comes over, like, she's like, I didn't think you knew that person, and he looks, I didn't know what you were going to do. And at that time, I'm, like, 150 pounds, and this guy could have folded me up like a soda can. And it was just, it was obvious that he knew that there was something, like, wrong with me, because I was like, yeah, they're going to take my wisdom teeth out.
But did you actually know the guy? Or was he just a random guy with neck tattoos?
No, he was a bike shop customer.
Oh,
like, I knew him from the shop.
Okay. No, there's always hilarious stories. And I think it's even more hilarious because you say really fucked up shit and you're really honest. And you're typically in your, like, later teenage years and your parents are there. So there's usually some fucked up shit. You're like, yeah, mom, like, you know, I fucked Stacy in your bed or whatever. And they're like, oh, my God.
No, none of that.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't happen to me because my wisdom teeth experience was the first time I went in as a teenager. I've always heard that redheads need more anesthesia to actually stay asleep. And I don't know if they had heard that. And I didn't have enough anesthesia and I started to wake up. And in trying to wake up, they thought that I was having an allergic reaction for whatever reason, and they gave me epinephrine.
Did you bite anyone's finger?
I was fighting.
Ah.
It was not a pleasant experience, and I was very sick for very many days and did not have my wisdom teeth out. And then as a 20-something-year-old, I, you know, like, went to another dentist and was like, I got to get these out because I'm having problems. And they were able to do it. I was still sick for a long time because of anesthesia, but, you know.
Jeez, you got some horrible experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had pretty awful anesthesia experiences.
I definitely get sick on full general anesthesia, which I've had 2 or 3 times in my life. That's not good for me at all. But I mean, you just die, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right? Like when they're reassembling your collarbone, there's no option other than general anesthesia.
Well, and you know, they can give you stuff right before and then like after surgery to help with the sickness. But I mean, you still feel like shit though.
I did better this last time. I definitely did better. I was still like in the recovery room way longer than normal. But like once I got home, I was like fine. So lucky there, I guess.
All right,
new shit.
Yeah, we got to talk about some new shit because we've already been recording a long time.
Speaking of
new shit, I'm wearing glasses because I'm old.
So is this the first time that you've had glasses? Like this is new to you?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's crazy.
You get older, your your eyes are less flexible, so your eye muscles are not able to focus them.
What do they look like?
Granny core.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I put them on, and it's like, wow, I look like I'm my age now. I look like a 44-year-old woman. That's just the only way to put it, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not saying that I'm fucking 44 years old. I shouldn't look like I'm 20, okay? There's no reason to think that you shouldn't look your age, and you shouldn't be ashamed to look your age. But I went from like, yeah, you could mistake me as someone younger, and now if you look at me, it's like, oh, yeah, you're 44, huh?
Have you thought about, like, were you given a choice? Like, hey, you want some cool-looking glasses or no? And you said no?
I tried a bunch of them on, and I was really stressed out about, like, there were, like, other people waiting for this lady in the glasses department, and I was trying on all these glasses and being really indecisive, and so I just picked up the ones that we had both been like, yeah, these are the best ones so far, and been like, these, let's do these. So that's what I got.
You should get some, like, all right. You should get some crazy... I say crazy ones. Those clear, kind of clear plastic frame things are pretty popular, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got some that are like half rimless because, or like half rim or something. I don't know what they're.
I
really
think the
called.
Ones that have no rim on the top and are bifocal, I think those are old people glasses.
No, these have a rim on the top, but not the bottom. And they're progressive, so they don't have a line.
Respectfully, no one gives a shit. We should talk about some bike stuff.
Okay.
And I have four new things that all go together that we can go through quickly.
All right. There really wasn't anything that I really gave a shit about.
Oh, there was a thing we were supposed to talk about, right? Oh, we were talking about when do we want to talk about World Cup in Utah?
Soon.
Okay.
We're going to go through new stuff first.
Okay.
So Hunt released some new gravel wheels, and
okay, where are you seeing that so I can look at it? I, on a scale of 1 to 10, without looking at it, I care a 2 on this. But anyway, where'd you find it?
It's just on the old Bike Rumor. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to just say, don't buy Roval's Hunt 25 wheel. Buy Roval, or don't buy Hunt's 25 carbon gravel X wide. Buy the new Roval Terras. They're better and the same price. That's really all I had to say. But then also in wheel news, on wheels that no one cares about, Novatec Wheels US is closing.
I didn't know they were open.
I didn't know there was a Novatec US.
Yeah, there you go.
So I get to close a warranty claim at work because of this. Because I've told the person like numerous times, I'm like, I don't know. I keep emailing them. No one answers their phone. Yada, yada. So now I get to just email this to her and be like, yeah, your wheel's not getting warrantied.
So the I think the story here, and do you want to tie the story together or you want to continue? I don't want to take your thunder.
Well, I was going to tie it into another thing that needed recalls.
Mm. Okay.
DT Swiss expanded their recall on road wheels. So, a small number of reports have showed delamination in the rim flange area. The rim bed is not affected, but it can be damaged as a result of the structural weakening, with delamination taking place between the numbers 2 and 3 in the graphic above. So if you can imagine the aero part of your wheel peeling away from the tire holding part of your wheel, which I'm not a wheel engineer, but I think that's pretty fucking bad.
For the most part, all the parts on your wheel are necessary for it to be a wheel. So when you lose a part of that wheel, then it's no longer a wheel.
Yeah. And in talking about having all parts of your wheel, We Are One expands Convergence lineup to include 7 models. And boy, have they jumped the
shark. Fuck me. Okay, so on this, I just have to say, these brands have to start picking a lane. Jesus Christ, there are already so many goddamn SKUs. We have SKUs are fucking and making other SKUs. We need to stop it. We need to reduce the number of SKUs.
Don't forget to get your skews spayed new.
Yeah, you can't leave the lights off in the warehouse overnight, or the downhill rims and the non-downhill rims will get together and they'll make special rims for special use cases that don't exist.
That is correct.
So I'm just going to run through this really quick. We got a downhill rim. Okay. We have an enduro rim. Okay.
But they're all convergence. Is that just the width? I'm very confused.
Convergence is their wheels.
Oh, I thought there were other models other than convergence.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Deal is the downhill rim. The Triad is the enduro rim. The Sector is the trail rim. So we have an enduro rim, and we're only going to talk about 29er just for the sake of speaking quickly. 30 mil internal, right? So the downhill rim is only 29 internal. Whatever. That's fine. We have an enduro rim that's 30 mils internal and weighs 543 grams. We have a trail rim that's 28 internal and weighs 448 grams. No one wants 28 internal rims. Everyone wants 29 or 30. We have a Wisp, which is an XC rim. It's made for cross country or wide gravel, and it weighs 380 grams. And then we get an e-bike specific rim, which weighs 580 grams. And then we get a bike packing rim.
Fucking what?
That weighs 440 grams. It's 27 internal, where the trail rim is 28 internal. Let's see, 448 grams. 404. So it's 8 grams lighter. They built a whole nother skew to save 8 grams. And then we get the gravel rim that weighs, it's 25 internal and weighs 360 grams. So
Jesus
if
Christ.
You couldn't keep up with that, neither could anyone else. So good luck.
And we are one and I-9 are the same now, right?
That's kind of like saying, no, it's not. We are one. That would be like saying that Cervelo and Santa Cruz were the same. They're owned by the same people. And a lot of, or saying Roval and Santa Cruz are the same. They operate independently. They're owned by the same people. And they might spec some products cross the line, but they're different.
And by the way, we took out a small business line of credit, and I ordered I-9 bearings yesterday for real. It was like $1,000 worth of bearings, and that's like per week. So I guess maybe I should be pumped that we're selling all those bearings, but it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I really just don't get it. While we're talking about bearings, I'm going to go on a rant. I don't know if we've done this on the show yet or not. If we have, cool. You need to hear it again, bike industry. Industry at large. If we haven't, go fuck yourself. Listen up anyways.